speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
Certainly what a wonderful thing it is to have the Lord's Day. This day is set aside for worship and service unto God, and of course to be in remembrance of the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of our Lord to the right hand of God, where He reigns and rules over us. In Ephesians 1:22-23, He gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Peter said, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as the grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth, but the word of the Lord endureth forever." What a wonderful passage to notice this morning as we begin our day in service unto the Lord. We've been discussing the last couple of Sundays the relationship of parents and children, and we know of no greater subject that could be discussed because of the importance of bringing up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Of course, Jesus said, "Go teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have taught you. And lo, I'll be with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Paul wrote to Timothy, "The things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same thing commit thou unto faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. And then in 1 Timothy 4:16, he says, "Take heed unto yourselves and unto the teaching which you do. Continue in these things, for in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee." We're greatly indebted to our Bible class teachers. They, of course, work diligently in the things which they do. And this, of course, expresses a sentiment which ought to be in the minds of the hearts of all parents and children who are taught by godly Bible class teachers. This is an open letter that was written by an unknown author to the teachers of our children. That it says, "Two or three times a week, I trust you with my most prized jewels, and those two or three times a week, you live up to that trust and return them to me, though not quite the same. Somehow, you manage to take them and gradually, week by week, polish them to make them shine a little more than I sometimes think possible. That, for you, I am very grateful, and your patience and your wisdom, enough to see the potential or riches in what others may see as only rough ore. I know you spend much unnoticed time in preparation to teach my children about Jesus. I've seen the literally hundreds of objects they bring home to remind them of your object lessons. You always win when I prematurely suggest discarding certain Bible class memorabilia. Much of it has a lot of your tender, loving care expressed in it, not to mention the time and the creativity behind what you have done. I saw a note you wrote to one of my children, challenging her to be the great Christian leader and example that you expect her to be. You even promised to pray for my daughter and reminded her that you are always there if she needs to talk. Thank you for the time and for the love and for the prayers, the expectations, and the support you devote to my children. And thank you for being a constant reflection of our Lord Jesus Christ. They notice, and when they do, so do I." Please resist the temptation to feel unappreciated. You're not only appreciated, but you're needed. And not just by my children, but by me also. And please don't underestimate your influence or your teaching role on them or me as a parent. My children echo much of what you teach them, probably more than you think they hear. In fact, they remember some of your stories, illustrations, and those long after they promoted to another class. As a Bible class teacher, you give my children Christ and yourself. You can't give a greater gift, and I can't give you enough thanks. You know, we're thankful for all the hard work that is exerted by those here at East End who teach the gospel of Christ. Those who are not involved do not realize sometimes how much work is involved in properly preparing for Bible classes. There will be many in heaven who are there because godly Bible class teachers planted the seed early in their lives. And to our teachers, we say, do not give up. Sometimes we do not see the results immediately, but the fact remains that if we plant the seed, we have accomplished our task. Isaiah 55:11, he said, my word will not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I desire. So teachers, don't forget these exhortations. May God continue to be glorified in our teaching and our preaching at East End. We, of course, pray for a continued beautiful harvest for His glory and for His honor. We need to be very careful, especially at this time of the year, that we do not purchase gifts that may cause difficulty to our children. It is possible for us to buy Bibles, even, of the modern versions that are so tinctured with legal errors that they will cause our children to go astray. I listed several perverted versions quite popular to our modernistic society in the recent work that I did in a foreign city from here. But we find these new translations are very dangerous. You know, some come to me and they say to me, oh, I bought my child a new Bible the other day. I bought the new Scofield Reference Bible. I said, surely you did not. They said, we did. And I told them about the premillennial teaching skillfully embedded therein, which certainly was not true to the Word of God. Throughout most of the last century, this reference Bible has been a poisonous primer for the advancement of dispensational premillennialism, which is the dominant form of modern millennial mania or madness. You know, the fact that these well-meaning parents thought that they were giving their child a good, spiritual, enriching, and enlightening gift did not make it such at all. And their innocence about reliability and unreliability in Bibles did not change this perverted product into a safe spiritual guide for an impressionable child incapable sometimes of weeding out the millennial era from the truth. This is not only true of this reference, but also other new translations such as the NIV and TEV and others that would lead our children into Calvinism and away from the teachings of the Lord. You know, for spiritual food, they gave their child a stone. And for a product that should ensure salvation, they gave a serpent, ready with its fangs to infuse deadly premillennialism into a highly unsuspecting and impressionable mind of a child. Ignorance of the Bible they gave their children does not atone for the stupidity of the choice. And why did any parents not seek counsel of a solid veteran, perhaps, of the faith, who knows what a reliable and unreliable Bible actually is? Do you realize, my friends, how lethal these type things are? It's strange to me that some would complain if one was to put poison into the drinking fountain of one of our parks, and yet there are those who will allow these same poisons in the spiritual realm to be placed in the mind of their children. To a great extent, you know, we are what we read and what we hear from others. And Jesus stressed this very principle in the famed Sermon on the Galilean Mount. He said in that great Galilean preaching that he did, or what man is there of you, whom if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask of him? Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11. Well, now, what father or mother would want to give a stone to one who asked for bread, especially our children? We just wouldn't do that, would we, if we knew? But sometimes people do not know about these perversions of the Bible, and they simply do so in ignorance. Or if he asked for a fish, would you give him a snake? Well, my friends, we wouldn't think of doing that. Our Heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts unto us. He has given His Word. We have it in word-for-word translation in the King James and the American Standard Versions, and we need to be sure that we keep ourselves to these in order not to lead our children astray. You know, in physical blessings conferred by caring parents, they do not substitute stones for bread or serpents for fish, do they? Yet spiritually, we may give stones for bread and serpents for fish in these new translations. If we give our children Bibles which contain lethal and fatal errors, we, my friends, will be responsible for their lost and undone condition. In contrast to those who we portray in these thoughts, consider this another couple. They know what is a reliable Bible and what is lethal in a product claiming to be the Bible, but that which has allowed fatal error to enter in into its pages, and their child was given a gift of the Bible by a child's teacher. It was a children's version of the NIV, and their child was not allowed to keep it. They exchanged it for a reliable Bible, one that would be safe for the future study and practical application by these children. So when we think about this study, it's encouraging, isn't it, to parents to exercise much caution when purchasing a Bible or religious study helps for our children. Although they may be taught correctly in our Bible classes, if they read one of these perversions of the Bible, then they're going to be perverted in their thinking, aren't they? Good News for Modern Man, that came out by Robert Bratcher, made its literary debut in 1966. Well-meaning, but highly uninformed Bible school teacher sometimes gave them out en masse. And one, of course, was given to even my father. And then, of course, they received this, realizing that it was not the truth. And because of that, we need to point out these lethal errors that are there. And we realize that people who are warned about these Bibles will take notice and that they will try to do better in the future than they've done in the past. We need to realize, my friends, that when we put poison into the minds of our children, it is not good. It is that which is not innocent. It is guilty upon our part. We have the responsibility to think and to think seriously about what we are giving to our children. Don't give them a serpent when they ask for a fish. Do not give them a stone when they ask for bread. Important for us to discuss these things, and we appreciate your listening, and certainly we're hopeful that it's been helpful in every way. Be with us in our services at the East End Church of Christ today, and then be with us again next Lord's Day for our continued study of the Scriptures. But until then, we bid you a pleasant, good Lord's Day.